Well, hello. This is Bob Sutherland from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from a number of business sources, mainly the business section of the Raleigh News and Observer, from Reuters, from Bloomberg, Wall Street Journal. And today's reading of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency. They've served our community since 1974 and can be reached by dialing 919-781-1973. Well, the Federal Reserve cut its benchmark interest rate Wednesday for the third time this year to try to sustain the economic expansion in the face of global threats. But it indicated it will not cut the rate again in the coming months unless the economic outlook worsens. The Fed's move reduces the short-term rate it controls, which influences many consumer and business loans, to a range of between 1.5% to 1.75%. A statement the Fed released after its latest policy meeting removed a key phrase that it has used since June to indicate a future rate cut is likely. And at a news conference, Chairman Jerome Powell suggested the Fed will now pause unless the economic picture darkens. If developments emerge that would cause a material reset of our outlook, Powell said, we will respond appropriately. The immediate reaction in the stock and bond markets was muted. The phrase the Fed dropped Wednesday from its policy statement had said it would act as appropriate to sustain the expansion. This was its signal that it expected to continue easing credit to aid the economy. In its new statement, the Fed said it instead that it will review the latest economic data as it assesses the appropriate path for the benchmark interest rate. The statement otherwise made few changes to the Fed's description of the economy, which it said was rising at a moderate rate. It noted that job gains have been solid and pointed to strength in consumer spending, but it also pointed out that the business investment and exports remain weak. Two of the Fed's policymakers dissented from the decision, Boston Fed President Eric Rosengren and Kansas City Fed President Esther George, said as they preferred to leave rates alone, but have dissented from all three cuts this year. Well, U.S. businesses added a mere 125,000 jobs in October. That's a slowdown in hiring, driven in part by job cuts in manufacturing and construction. Payroll processor ADP said Wednesday that hiring in September was also revised down sharply to 93,000 jobs from the initial report of 135,000. The October figure did not account for the strike by General Motors workers, which likely led to the loss of an additional 60,000 jobs, so said Mark Zandi, chief economist at Moody's Analytics. Hiring was solid in the healthcare industry and among employers with more than 50 workers. Well, beginning next year, Ford's redesigned vehicle models will allow software updates over the internet and through cellular phone connections. The company says every model will be equipped with the technology as they are redesigned. The shift will reduce visits to dealers and even some computer-related recall repairs. Once completed, Ford will join Tesla in having over-the-air software updates across its model lineup. Owners will be able to get updates over their home wireless network at no cost, and the cost for the cellular updates has not been announced. Well, Apple is still running a well-oiled money-making machine despite cooling demand for its hottest product, the iPhone. The latest evidence of Apple's prowess emerged Wednesday with the release of financial results for the July-September quarter. Both Apple's sales and revenue exceeded analyst estimates as the newest iPhones got off to a better start than expected. Revenues rose 2% from the same time last year to $64 billion, even though iPhone sales dropped 9%. Apple's profit dipped 3% to $13.7 billion, but the earnings per share of $3.03 topped analyst projections. Sony Corporation says its net profit fell 15% in the first half of the year, though strong sales of entertainment and imaging sensors offset weaknesses in the games sector. Tokyo-based Sony upgraded its earnings forecast for the full fiscal year on expectations for stronger sales and lower taxes. The company said Wednesday that its sales dipped 2% from a year earlier in the April-September quarter. It said profit was 340 billion yen. Quarterly sales fell 3% to 2.1 trillion yen. And Facebook on Wednesday reported solid third-quarter results showing steady growth in its user base, even as it faces broad regulatory threats and criticism over its power and negative effects on society. Facebook said it earned $6.9 billion, or $2.12 a share, in the July-September quarter, up from 19% from $5.14 billion, or $1.76 a share in the same period a year earlier. Revenue grew 29% to $17.65 billion from $13.73 billion. Facebook ended the quarter with 2.45 billion monthly users, up 8% from a year earlier. Well, lawmakers blasted Boeing and peppered its CEO on Wednesday with questions about the design and marketing of the 737 MAX, the plane involved in two crashes that killed 346 people. House Transportation Committee Chairman Peter DeFazio, Democrat of Oregon, said Boeing showed a lack of candor all through this. DeFazio and others highlighted Boeing's failure to tell pilots about a new flight control system until after a MAX crashed a year ago in Indonesia, and the recent disclosure a company test pilot raised alarms on the system in 2016. DeFazio and Representative Steve Cohen, a Democrat of Tennessee, also hammered CEO Dennis Muilenburg over his compensation, which rose last year to $23.4 million. Well, the federal budget for the year 2019 surged to $984 billion, its highest point in 7 years, and it's widely expected to top the $1 trillion mark in coming years. The 26% surge from the 2018 deficit of $779 billion that the government reported Friday reflected such factors as revenue lost from the 2017 Trump tax cut and a budget deal that added billions in spending. Forecasts by the Trump administration and the CBO, that is the Congressional Budget Office, project that the deficit will top $1 trillion in the current budget year. Well, smaller bonuses last year contributed to a 5.6% drop in average Wall Street salaries. That's according to a report released Friday by the New York State's comptroller. The average 2018 salary, including bonuses for New York City's securities industry employees, was $398,000. That was down from $422,000 in 2017. The salary drop tracks with a 17% decline in bonuses. The report gives two reasons for scale-back bonuses, that is, changes in the federal tax law that boosted the bonus pool in 2017, and financial market weakness at the tail end of 2018. Well, locally, the Triangle's annual rent growth for multifamily apartments in the third quarter of 2019 is already higher than it was at the end of 2018. This means it might be tougher still to negotiate apartment rent here than the News and Observer reported it would back in January. As national apartment occupancy rises today almost to its all-time high of 96% achieved in 2000, rents have been rising too, and the Triangle continues to outpace the nation, according to recent numbers from RealPage, that's a real estate data company. In this year's third quarter, the Raleigh-Durham market's average rent is $1,174, which is lower than the national average of 1,416. But it is still growing faster, with an annual rent charge of 5.3%, in contrast to the national pace of 3%. The growth rate is the same for the Triad area, placing them with the Triangle as rent growth leaders in large metro regions. Well, a restaurant group behind Durham and Raleigh favorites such as Vin Rouge and Kipo's Greek Taverna opens its first Raleigh restaurant this week. Rosewater, a new Mediterranean bistro, will open Tuesday in Raleigh's North Hills development. The new restaurant is the latest offering from Giorgio's Hospitality Group, which is owned by prolific restaurateur Giorgio's Bakatsias, and his first opening closed close to Raleigh's Beltline. Rosewater was announced last summer, and in a little over a year, Bakatsias has transformed a former Brugger's Bagels into a bright 110-seat dining room of marble, wood, and glass. The menu features a number of seafood options, including small plates of charred octopus and scallops, and larger plates such as whole grilled snapper and cioppino, a seafood stew of fish and shellfish. Other small plates include a red pepper tartare, a menu of shareable seasonal vegetables, a mac and cheese with ricotta, gouda, and goat cheese, and two kinds of hummus. Well, Google is paying more attention to the small words in its searches. The company is changing its search system to better understand the meaning of what you're looking for. Google is rolling out the change to English language searches in the U.S. starting this week. The change comes as Google teaches its search system to better understand the context and order of the words you're searching. Google executive Pandu Nayak says it is the biggest change to the search engine in more than 5 years. Well, from California, Associated Press, California's biggest utility admitted its electrical equipment may have ignited a destructive wildfire spreading through the state's wine country Friday, despite blackouts imposed across the region to prevent blazes. The disclosure came as firefighters simultaneously battled flames in both northern and southern California. The fire amid Sonoma County's vineyards and a wind-whipped blaze that destroyed homes near L.A. The fire near the northern California town of Guyersville burned at least 49 buildings and 34 square miles and prompted evacuation orders for some 2,000 people. It was driven by strong winds that had prompted Pacific Gas and Electric to impose sweeping blackouts affecting 500,000 people in northern and central California. Power was restored to most people by Thursday evening, Pacific Gas said. Pacific Gas also resorted to shutoffs after equipment malfunctions and trees blowing into power lines were blamed for sparking several blazes in recent years. That's killed scores of people, burned thousands of homes, and ran up billions of dollars in claims that drove the utility into bankruptcy. However, PG&E said Thursday it did not turn off a 230,000-volt transmission line near Guysburg that malfunctioned minutes before the fire erupted. The utility reported finding a broken jumper wire on a transmission tower Wednesday night. Well, Walgreens is going to shutter in-store clinics. Jenny Craig cites Walgreens will shutter nearly 40% of the clinics in its stores as the drugstore chain cuts costs and shifts to other businesses it believes will draw more people through its doors. The company said Monday that it will close 150 Walgreens-run clinics by the end of the year, but it will keep open more than 200 that are run in partnership with healthcare providers. Drugstore chains like Walgreens started adding small clinics that dole out flu shots and handle relatively minor health issues like sinus infections. But analysts say the chains have struggled to make any money off these clinics, which face growing competition from telemedicine services that allow customers to get care through their smartphones. Walgreens has been focusing more on testing primary care clinics, which offer more extensive care, connected to some of its stores in Kansas City and Houston. The chain also is working on other partnerships with companies like Kroger Company to improve its food offerings. Walgreens said Monday that it will open 100 locations for the weight loss company, Jenny Craig, at stores nationally starting in January. Edward Jones analyst John Boland said the closing of the clinics is immaterial to the company financially, and he expects the services Walgreens offers at its stores to shift over time. Well, a measure of hiring by U.S. companies has fallen to a seven-year low, and fewer employers are raising pay, a business survey found. Just one-fifth of the economists surveyed by the National Association for Business Economics said that companies have added to their workforces in the past 3 months. That's down from one-third in July. Job totals were unchanged at 69% of companies, up from 57% in July. A broad measure of job gains in the survey fell to its lowest level since October of 2012. The hiring slowdown comes as more businesses are reporting slower growth of sales and profits. Business economists also expect the economy's growth to slow in the coming year, partly because tariffs have raised prices and cut into sales for many firms. The U.S. economy appears to be slowing, and respondents expect still slower growth over the next 12 months, so said Constance Hunter, that's NABE president and chief economist at the accounting firm KPMG. Hiring may also be slowing because the unemployment rate is at a 50-year low of 3.5%, and many companies are struggling to find enough workers. The survey found that 43% of companies reported shortages of skilled workers, though that figure has declined for three straight shows. Government data shows that companies are posting fewer available jobs, suggesting that demand for labor is weakening as well as supply. Well, the Trump family considers selling its hotel in D.C. After nearly 3 years of controversy and legal fights, they're considering selling its Washington hotel that is just a few blocks from the White House. The hotel has become a frequent target of criticism for Trump and his family because it frequently hosts foreign diplomats as well as corporate executives seeking approvals from the Trump administration and political groups that are pushing the White House for policy actions. That's creating questions about its conflicts of interest. Since we opened our doors, we have received tremendous interest in this hotel, and as real estate developers, we are always willing to explore our options, according to Eric Trump. He said that Friday in a statement to the Wall Street Journal, which first reported the proposal. People are objecting to us making so much money on the hotel, and therefore we may be willing to sell. That's according to Eric Trump again. The hotel opened in late 2016, just before Trump was elected president, and quickly became one of the single biggest sources of revenue for the Trump family, according to financial disclosures. It also is one of the few parts of the company that has seen major revenue growth since Trump took office. The hotel operates out of a federal building known as the Old Post Office, and the space is leased by the Trump Organization for 60 years. Any transfer of that lease would have to be approved by the Federal General Services Administration, which awarded the deal to the Trump Organization after a competition among various bidders. The hotel is a key part of lawsuits pending against the Trump Organization by at least three groups that argue Trump is violating the Constitution by accepting payments from foreign governments. The Trump family has attempted to address this by sending an annual payment to the Treasury of what it says are any profits from these payments by foreign governments, which it said totaled about $191,000 last year at the Washington Hotel and other properties it owns. Well, General Motors workers voted 57% in favor of a new contract with the company, bringing an immediate end to the contentious 40-day strike that paralyzed General Motors' U.S. factories. Workers voted 23,000 in favor of the deal, with 17,000 against it. That's according to a statement issued Friday by the UAW. That's the United Auto Workers Union. The union now will turn its attention to bargaining with crosstown rival Ford Motor Company. The vote means that the workers will put down their picket signs and return to their jobs. Some will start as early as Friday night, and some production could resume on Saturday. Skilled trade workers will begin restarting factories that were shuttered when 49,000 workers walked out on September 16. The deal, which includes a mix of wage increases and lump sum payments, had an $11,000 signing bonus, but GM will close 3 U.S. factories. Well, back home, investments in the youngest companies in the Triangle are declining. The share of venture capital deals that went to seed and angel investments across the region, an important marker for the future health of a startup ecosystem, fell last year to its lowest level since 2011. That's according to data compiled by the companies PricewaterhouseCoopers and CB Insights. Angel and seed investments, which include the earliest money brought in by the startups, are vital because they help kickstart the launch of many companies. The money often comes before a company has created any revenue or products. But in recent years, analysts say investors appear to favor placing bets on more seasoned, established companies. With this story, the News Observer is launching a new reporting project aimed at monitoring the health of Triangle's tech ecosystem. In a survey sent to dozens of people in the local tech industry, the NNO asked what important measuring points matter the most for the ongoing success of the region. We'll be reporting on individual indicators over the next 5 weeks, then we'll revisit all of them regularly going forward, so said the News and Observer. Well, the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission on Wednesday said it was seeking feedback on whether disclosure firms from issuing SEC-registered residential mortgage-backed securities as the Trump administration seeks to overhaul the housing finance market. SEC Chairman Jay Clayton said that he had asked agency officials to review SEC disclosure requirements for the RMBS introduced in 2014 in a bid to rep products and help boost capital formation in the housing markets. With the future privatization of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, the RMBS market will likely shrink and decrease funding availability for home loans. Potential issuers of SEC-registered RMBS have expressed concerns regarding the scope and interpretation of disclosure requirements. The review was recommended by the U.S. Treasury Department in its blueprint published last month in removing mortgage giants Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae's government control. The pair, which guarantee over half of the nation's mortgages, were put into the conservatorship in 2018 as losses mounted on their portfolio. RMBS are a type of asset-backed security comprised of bundle loans such as mortgages, student loans, and auto loans. The loans are typically packaged holders of low-risk loans like the 30-year fixed mortgages paid first and investors in high-risk assets such as subprime mortgages paid afterward. Following the crisis, the agency introduced rules requiring SEC-registered RMBS issuers to provide greater information, including 270 different data of underlying loans. By contrast, Freddie and Fannie's offerings require only 100 data points. The SEC said it was seeking comment on, among other issues, as to whether the SEC should implement a provider or provide explain regime, which would allow asset-level data point as long as the issuer identifies the omitted field. Well, lack of transparency in the Commerce Department's handling of steel and aluminum tariffs raised the appearance that have had improper influence in the process. Its internal watchdog and its document made public last Wednesday. The audit related to the way companies were able to request that they be exempted from having to pay 25% tariffs on imported steel and 10% tariffs that were imposed by President Trump in March under Section 232 of the Trade Expansion Act. It found evidence that the department had an unofficial appeals process, changed its internal review criteria after communicating with a company in decision, and failed to fully document more than 100 meetings and phone calls with interested parties. We believe that these issues give the perception that Section 232 exclusion request review process is neither transparent nor objective. Democratic presidential candidate Elizabeth Warren, who had asked the IG to review the exclusion review process, hailed the report as evidence that the Trump administration tariff exclusion process was rigged from the start to benefit big, well-connected, and in many cases, foreign companies. Well, U.S. economic growth slowed less than expected in the third quarter as a further contraction in business investments in consumer spending, further allaying financial markets' fears of a recession. The Federal Reserve cut interest rates, as reported earlier in our program this morning, for the third time on Wednesday, and lingering threats to the longest expansion on record. The U.S. Central Bank, however, signaled a pause in its easing cycle, which started in July when it reduced borrowing costs for the first time since 2008. The dollar fell against a basket of currencies while U.S. Treasury prices rose. Stocks on Wall Street were trading higher. Recession fears have subsided in recent months, mainly on hopes of a resolution to the 15-month trade war. Despite last quarter's better-than-expected performance, the economy is expected to again missed the White House ambitious goal of 3% annual growth against 2.9 last year. The economy is still laboring against the headwinds of a trade war uncertainty, so said Chris Rupke, chief economist at the MUEG in New York. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. I do hope you've enjoyed it, and be sure to listen next time. I'm Bob Sutherland, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's reading of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, which has served our community since 1974. They can be reached by dialing 919-781-1973. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. So long, until next time.